once again for Melody Ranch and Gene Autry.
I'm back in the saddle again, out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly Jimson weed. I'm back in the saddle again.
That's right, folks. It's another visit with all the gang here at Melody Ranch. There's Pat Buttram, the Cass Colley Boys, the Gene Autry Blue Jeans, Carl Kottner's Melody Ranch Hardway 6 featuring Alvino Ray, and yours truly, Charlie Lyon. Right now, though, meet the boss man himself, America's favorite cowboy, Gene Autry.
Put on a bonnet, a sunbeam bonnet, and paint a bluebird, a bluebird on it. Start with a bonnet, and in a while, you'll be all dressed up to smile. Then get some shoes, some dancing shoes, to spread good news and chase the blueses. Shine up those shoes, and in a while, you'll be all dressed up to smile. Some silver lining from a cloud that's in distress will make the nicest gown of happiness. Old lady fashion, you'll never trail her. Just let a sunbeam become your tailor. You lead the fashion, always in style, 'cause you're all dressed up to smile.
Some silver linings from a cloud that's in distress will make the nicest gown of happiness.
Old lady fashion, you'll never trail her. Just let a sunbeam become your tailor. You lead the fashion, always in style, 'cause you're all dressed up to smile.
Well, many thanks there, folks, and welcome once again to Melody Ranch. Well, sir, if there's one thing that makes us happy, it's when you folks like the records that we make. In the case in point, here once again is
a voice in the choir from the church in the valley, so sweet and gentle, just sings for me. And though none can hear her in that great congregation, a voice in the choir consoles me tenderly. Our hearts found each other in the church in the valley. I heard her singing, I sinned no more. We made vows together in the church in the valley, to the voice in the choir that I adore. Our years together were golden with love,
and we're beholden to him above.
Then one day he called her from the church in the valley. Now I am lonely as years pass by, but someday I'll join her, my voice in the choir, in a church in the valley, in the heavenly sky.
Well, thank you, friends. Thanks a million. Say, Patrick.
Yeah, what is it?
Well, sir, you know, I think I've found just the gal for you to marry.
Oh, no, you don't, Buster. Nothing doing.
But she's a wonderful gal.
I said nothing
but doing. But she's a beautiful gal.
Look, for the last time, nothing doing.
And she's loaded with money.
Shake hands with the new bridegroom.
I thought that'd do it. Seriously, though, Patrick, don't you ever think about anything but money? Weren't you ever really in love?
Yeah, but only once. Matter of fact, me and my finance, we even set the day. There was just one small thing that stood in our way.
And what was that?
She couldn't stand the sight of me.
Well, that I can understand. What happened?
One day her old man got mad and he threw me and all four of his sons right out of the house.
Threw his own sons out?
Yes, sir. First he threw out Don Pedro, then he threw out Don Carlos, then he threw out Don Josie.
You mean Don Jose?
Yeah, he threw him out. Then he kicked out Don Juan.
Mm-hmm. Now, wait a minute. Why did he throw out three Dons and kick out the fourth?
Oh, he always kicks on the fourth Don.
Very funny, very funny. Oh, yeah. You know something, Buttram?
Yeah, what?
If a swallow ever had your brain, he wouldn't know how to go back to Capistrano.
Well, thanks.
You're welcome.
Now, may I continue?
Yes, please do.
Yeah, well, as I was saying, after her old man tossed me out, I decided to teach her a lesson. So I run away. Let her suffer. Let her be lonely for two whole long years. And then when I figured she had had enough punishment, I went back to her house, rung the doorbell, threw my arms around her, and gave her a great big kiss.
Oh, and what happened?
Her husband punched me right in the nose.
Well, so long, Patrick, old boy. Well, sir, let's see here. If I'm not mistaken, the Cass County Boys and the Blue Jeans are just about to sing one of my very favorite spirituals. Kids?
Way up yonder on the mountain top,
way up in the middle of the air,
my Lord spoke and the chariot stopped.
Way in the middle of the air, Ezekiel saw the wheel
a-turning.
Way up in the middle of the air, Ezekiel saw the wheel.
Saw that wheel
way in the middle of the air.
Joshua was a son of Nun.
Way up in the middle of the air,
he never quit till the work was done.
Way in the middle of the air, Ezekiel saw the wheel
spinning.
Way up in the middle of the air, Ezekiel saw the
wheel
way in the middle of the air.
Now you see that sister dressed so fine,
way up in the middle of the air,
she ain't got religion on her mind.
Way in the middle of the air, Ezekiel saw the wheel. Way up in the middle of the air, Ezekiel saw the wheel
turning.
Way in the middle of the air, Ezekiel saw the wheel. Way up in the middle of the air, Ezekiel saw the wheel. Way in the middle of the air, on the big wheel run by faith, and the little wheel run by the grace of God. To the wheel, 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 way in the middle of the air.
Kids, that was really great. Your love is colder than a foggy river flowing o'er a heart of stone. You left me stranded in this foggy river, drifting helpless and alone. Can't escape this broken heart of mine. There's no freedom anymore. Oh, heaven help me on this foggy river. Help me find the distant shore. Always knew someday you'd let me down. I've got troubles on my mind. Guess I'm doomed to sail this foggy river till I leave your love behind.
Hey, yeah.
Well, thank you there, folks. I'm glad you liked it.
Oh, that was fine. But you know, Gene, I was just thinking more folks should visit this part of the country. Just take a look at tonight, for instance. Quiet, beautiful, and everything's a doggone peaceful. It's really living at its best.
Well, you can say that again, Charlie. But don't let it fool you. Because I remember one night a few years back when things were just as calm and peaceful as they are right now. But the very next minute, all tarnation broke loose.
Hey, now, that sounds to me like the beginning of a story.
Well, it was a story, Charlie. In fact, it was the beginning of just about the most exciting couple of days that we ever had around here.
Well, good night. Don't just stand there and keep me in suspense. What happened?
Well, sir, just like I said, it was one of those still, cold winter evenings here at Melody Ranch. Maybe even more quiet than usual. You see, most of the boys had gone over to the rodeo at Rimrock for a few days. Anyways, I remember it now. Old Pat Buttram and I were sitting in the front room fighting it out over our nightly game of checkers when all of a sudden...
Now, who the heck do you suppose that is?
Ah, beats me, Pat. Come on, we'll find out.
Right.
Quick, close it. They're after me. I just hope for your sake you didn't see me come in here. Oh.
Twenty minutes later, he was sound asleep on the spare bunk in the front room. So, since there was nothing more we could do for him anyway until morning, we turned in too. At any rate, next day I got up kind of early because I had some business to take care of in town. Our surprise visitor from the night before was still sleeping, so I decided to go on ahead without waking him. But the front door was as far as I got. Hey, Pat.
Yeah?
Pat, come here, quick.
What's the matter?
Look here. Stuck to the outside door.
Well, I'll be. It's a piece of paper with a black arrow stuck through it.
Now, read what it says.
If you value your lives, don't help the stranger.
Look how it's signed.
The Black Arrow Gang.
I knew it. I should never have come here in the first place. Now, you're in trouble with those hoodlums, too.
Look, mister, I don't know who you are or what your business is, but I don't get it. What goes on, anyway?
Well, to begin with, my name is Fred Wallace. For years, I've been drifting around trying to strike gold, and finally, a little over a month ago, I did just that. Anyway, I was so excited about it at the time, and I evidently told the wrong people about it, and, somehow this Black Arrow gang, whoever they are, found out. I'm sure they're after me to get the location of my strike. Only they're not going to get it. You hear me? They're not going to get it.
Now, take it easy, mister.
Stay here with him, Pat. Make him lie down. I'm going into town and check with Sheriff Dillon. And so, Jim, that's the whole complete story.
Well, you know, it's mighty strange if you ask me, Gene. Especially since I ain't never heard of no outfit called the Black Arrow Gang.
Me either. Just the same as a favor to me, why, come on out to the ranch and talk to this guy, will you? Can't do any harm.
Well, I'd like to if I could, but... Well, they're having a hearing over at Rimrock this afternoon. I gotta be there. But, tell you what I will do, though. I'll leave word for one of my deputies, Bob Higgins, to get out to your place just as soon as he comes in.
Good. What time you figure he'll be there?
Shouldn't be any later than 5:00.
Okay, Jim. Make sure he gets the message, because just between you and me, I think that we may be in for a little fireworks. So, Charlie, after that, I rode on back to the ranch, hoping to get a little more information from our house guest. But when I got there, I was in for quite a surprise. Both Pat and Mr. Wallace were gone. Quickly, I headed out back where Mr. Wallace had tied his horse the night before. It was gone, too. But there in the jumble of hoof marks was one that stood out from all others. It was the imprint of a horse with a broken shoe. So, as fast as I could, I jumped on Champ and started trailing that print. Slightly less than an hour later, And about 50 yards off Skyline Trail, I found what I was looking for. Pat and Mr. Wallace were lying on the ground at the foot of a big tree. And there stuck in the tree, held by a black arrow, was a note that said, "This is your last warning. We mean business. Stay away from Wallace." And, like before it was signed, the black arrow game.
Mr. Artery, where am I?
Oh, you're okay, Pat. Just a knot on your head, that's all. Say, what happened?
I don't know. I just remember walking out the back door at home to go feed the horses when all of a sudden the lights went out. Somebody must have hit me from behind. How's Mr. Wallace?
Oh, I don't know. They must have got him, too. Here you are, old-timer. Drink some of this water.
They'll never find my strike. I tricked them. They'll never find it now. I gave them directions on how to get there, but they're wrong. I sent them on a wild goose chase.
Well, in that case, I guess the best thing to do is to get you both back to Melody Ranch. The sheriff's deputy should be there by the time we are.
Wait. First, Mr. Autry, I want to give you something I have hidden here in my booth. It's the map that leads to my strike. In case something happens to me, I want you to have it.
Why, I couldn't do that, Mr. Wallace. Well, that property belongs to you.
Please, now, as a favor to me, do as I say. Here, take it.
Well, okay. But nothing's going to happen to you. I'll see to that. Now, look, here's my gun, Pat. You and Mr. Wallace take Champ and head back to the ranch. In the meantime, I'll walk the trail back to town, pick up another horse, and meet you at the house sometime before 6 o'clock. Well, Charlie, that next hour and a half turned up two surprises that I sure hadn't counted on. First, on my way back home from town, I found Sheriff Dillon's deputy, Bob Higgins, gagged and slugged in a drain ditch just about 100 yards from our front gate. And second, on a hunch, I took a look at the map that Mr. Wallace had given me. The location of the strike he had hit was, guess where? On my property.
Hey, Pat. Pat! Where are you?
Here I am, Mr. Artery. What'd you find out? Anything?
Plenty. Where's Mr. Wallace?
In the back room sleeping. Why?
Well, follow me.
Okay, but I still don't see why you're so excited about anything.
You'll find out in a minute.
Hey, he's gone. And look, there, stuck in the floor.
Yeah. A black arrow. And another note.
What's it say?
Bring map to fork in Sagebrush River before sundown, or Wallace will die.
They must have took him through the window. What do we do now?
Just what the note says to do, Pat. We're heading for the fork in Sagebrush River.
Oh, Champ. Oh, boy.
Whoa there. Whoa.
Okay, Pat, this is it. From here on, we walk.
All right.
Quiet now. Keep low and follow me.
Hey, look, Mr. Artery, up ahead. Ain't that a campfire?
Yeah, sure is, Pat.
Come on. That's funny. Don't seem to be nobody around.
No. But look at this.
What is it?
Oh. A lot of figures. And if I'm not mistaken, they all have to do with... Hey, wait a minute.
What's the matter?
This is the same kind of a paper that Mr. Wallace's map was written on. Even looks like the same kind of handwriting.
Correct, my good friend.
Huh? Hey, who's that?
You know, I kind of thought that you might be somewhere around here, Mr. Wallace.
Yeah, but what's the idea of holding that gun on us?
The explanation's very simple, Pat. Mr. Wallace is the Black Arrow Gang.
What?
Hey, you're right, Mr. Autry. Oh, I'll admit I don't make a very impressive gang, but the title served its purpose well. However, let's take things in their proper sequence. First of all, I happen to know that there's a rich oil deposit on your property, Mr. Autry, and I intend to gain control of it.
So that's what that map led to.
Precisely. Now then, as you see here, I've taken the trouble to draw up a little document deeding over to me exclusive rights to all oil deposits on your ranch. Here's my pen. Will you sign it, please?
Don't do it, Mr. Hardery.
I'm afraid I haven't much choice, Pat. Mr. Wallace has the gun.
Well, it's a most wise observation.
There you are.
Thank you. And now there remains only one more small detail. I'm afraid that I shall have to kill you both.
Don't you think that's a little risky?
Oh, no, not at all. You see, I'll merely leave one of the Black Arrow gang's calling cards by your bodies. That way, thanks to your efforts, the sheriff knows there is such an organization. So, he'll never suspect anyone else.
Very clever, Mr. Wallace. But now that we've played your little game for a while, suppose you play ours.
Oh, my arm!
Yeah.
Oh, you're breaking it!
Oh, drop that gun or I will break it.
All right, there.
Now that's better.
What are you going to do to me?
Suppose we let the sheriff decide that. I will tell you one thing, though. The oil you were after on my property is only fool's oil.
What? Why, you're lying. It can't be.
It is just the same. We discovered it years ago, only it's absolutely worthless. It looks like oil and gives every indication of being oil. But it's nothing more than a seepage that comes from the surface.
Well, I'll be.
And all my trouble for nothing.
Oh, I don't know. Somehow I got a hunch the sheriff's going to be mighty glad to see both you and your gang. And so, that wound up the strange activities of the smallest gang ever to bother these parts at any rate. Right now, though, suppose we change the subject to music and sing for you one of the prettiest Western songs in our Cowboy Classic Hall of Fame. I'm sure that you can't help but agree as you hear the boys and girls join me in musically describing the singing hills are singing tonight. And echoing a song of long ago, the singing hills were singing that night. That lovely night I said I love you so. The wind in the valley joined in our sweet refrain. But now the wind and I, each night we cry, come back again. And though you're gone, the song lingers on. Still echoing among the singing hills.
The singing hills are singing tonight. And echoing a song of long ago. The singing
wind in the valley joined in our sweet refrain. But now the wind and I, each night we cry, come back again. And though you're gone, the song lingers on. Still echoing among the singing hills.
One, two, three, four, five, six.
Seven lonely days make one lonely week. Seven lonely nights make one lonely me. Ever since the time you told me we were through, seven lonely days I cried and cried for you.
Oh, my darling, you're crying. There's no use in denying I cried for you. Was your favorite pastime making me blue? Last week was the last time I cried for you.
Seven angels blue I fill with my tears. Seven letters too I fill with my fears.
Was your favorite pastime making me blue? Last week was the last time I cried for you.
I cried and cried for you.
Oh, my darling,
I cried and cried for you.
Oh, my darling,
I cried and cried and cried over you.
Oh, kids, that was really wonderful. Makes no difference now what kind of life fate hands me. I'll get along without you now, it's plain to see. I don't care what happens next, for I'll get by somehow. I don't worry, 'cause it makes no difference now. It was just a year ago when I first met you. I learned to love you, and I thought you loved me too. But now that's all in the past, and I'll forget somehow. I don't worry, 'cause it makes no difference now. After all is said and done, I'll soon forget you. Although I know that it will be so hard to do. Let things happen as they will, and I'll get by somehow. I don't worry, 'cause it makes no difference now. Well, thank you, neighbors. Many, many thanks.
Next week at this same time, Gene Autry and all the gang from Melody Ranch will be heard over these same stations. This is Charlie Lyon inviting you to be tuned our way. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service.